We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Former UNC star Jerry Stackhouse, and he joins me now. Stack, it's Gary Parrish. Thanks for being here, man.
What's up, Gary, man? Appreciate you having me, man. Thank you.
No, you're doing me a favor. And first off, how you enjoying Memphis so far? It's nice to have you here.
Man, I've been eating good, man.
You can do that here.
Yeah, man. I've been finding some good spots, man. Good restaurants. I'm somewhat of a foodie, so this has worked well so far, man. I'm excited about, you know, obviously the basketball part of it, but, you know, just getting the people in the city has been great, just welcoming. You know, they're excited for, you know, a good season, man. So it's been a good vibe since I've been here. Been enjoying it for sure.
Well, that's good to hear. Like, listen, I don't want to be pocket watching on you, but here's the truth. Like, you made a lot of money in your NBA career, and you could probably be doing whatever it is you want to do at this moment. And yet you spent years, not just on an NBA staff, although you've done that, but like in the G League. And that's a different world than five-star hotels and chartered flights. You know, I've been like just randomly on flights with G League teams, and it's like 6'11 dudes sitting in the middle of 32, row 32.
No doubt.
Like, it's not the type of place where you typically find guys who have had the careers that you've had. But what it suggests to me is that you wanted to really be a coach, and that is a place to become that. Walk me through your decision to give up what would otherwise be a glamorous life, doing whatever it is you want to do, to live that G League life for multiple years.
Well, no, I think it was a part of my process of where I knew I wanted to aspire to go, and that's to become a head coach in the NBA. And, you know, that's my path is, you know, being under, you know, Coach Casey, you know, for a year, and then having my own situation in the G League. Just got, you know, kind of fast-tracked me from the standpoint of experience, bench experience, being in the game. Obviously, I coached at, you know, the grassroots is where I started,
right,
you know, in AAU basketball. So that was, you know, so the part about, like I said, the G League and traveling in hotels and, you know, flights and stuff, I've been doing that with these kids for the last probably 8 or 9 years anyway. So that wasn't anything to me, even though we were doing it, you know, with a professional team. But just the, you know, all the things that I was able to do from the standpoint of making schedules, you know, dealing with training staff, all, you would never get those experiences as assistant coach. So it's almost like taking a step backwards to take two steps forward. And, you know, I'm glad I did it. I would encourage anybody who's serious about coaching to, you know, it may not be a head coaching job, but any job in the G League is just like having a job in, you know, with one of the 30 NBA teams. And they're all, you know, linked now, so you are in the door, so to speak. So I would definitely say it was great for me, and hopefully other people can kind of see that as a blueprint and do it as well.
You're still a young guy. How much do you think it helped expedite your goal of being a head coach by already being a head coach? Like, it's one thing, and I don't mean to diminish anybody's role on anybody's staff, but it's one thing to be a number four assistant as opposed to, listen, whether it's the G League or whatever, you're running this team. This, you're making the decisions. That's got to be beneficial, I would assume.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, I ask people all the time, would you rather, you know, make suggestions or make decisions? You know what I'm saying? And I think as a head coach, you have to make those decisions. And, you know, but you understand it. I think being a head coach helps you be a better assistant, too, because you know what to expect, you know, kind of things that you deal with on the surface, you know, that kind of above the surface. And then you got guys that, you know, that are, you know, loyal and trustworthy that you can have, you know, you delegate. You got to be able to delegate. You can't do it on your own. And I think that's why it's, you know, it's exciting to be a part of this. You know, JV, you didn't come here with any type of, you know, you got this coaching title of level one, first assistant, second. They want guys that, you know, are head coaches that can bring something on every side of the ball, offensively, defensively, and from a game philosophy. So, it's just those experiences, man. You just can't get them as an assistant. You have to be able. And so I think, and it was always going to be the case where you need head coaching experience. So now that's a box that I have checked from the standpoint. You know, I was, you know, had a couple of interviews this summer with New York, obviously with Toronto where I was. And so just that experience of going through that and understanding what that process looked like was, was unbelievable for me. So now I just feel like once I can, you know, I went back and asked questions to those people who I interviewed, what things I did well, what things I could get better at. And I think that feedback will help me next time around, you know, when I'm able to possibly interview again.
I'm talking to Jerry Stackhouse, a former NBA All-Star, now member of the Memphis Grizzlies coaching staff. Everything I read, and again, this is probably just one person's perspective, but everything I read was that you do interview well and that you come across not just as a guy who was an amazing basketball player at every level, but somebody who really understands the game and specializes in X's and O's. Has that been, not to ask you to talk brilliantly about yourself, I know that's uncomfortable, but is that the feedback you've also gotten? The everything I heard was like positive stuff.
Yeah, I don't think it was, you know, necessarily the process, man. I felt coming out of, you know, just the confidence of that I've always had. I felt coming out of the interviews that it was my job.
Right,
you know? But, you know, I think it's just, it wasn't my time. I think my mom always says, she says the best what's for you is for you. And obviously that wasn't for me this time around. Maybe just being able to, you know, obviously be on the bench because I hadn't been on the bench before. I was behind the bench with Case. And so it's really like, you know, 18 years of playing experience. It's like, oh, that doesn't really mean anything. Now you're in the coaching world. So it's kind of funny, but that's just the way it goes. You got to earn your chops. You got to kind of pay your dues. And I'm glad that I was able to do that. And, you know, people recognize that I'm, you know, serious about my craft. I watch a lot of film. I mean, it's just about trying to get these guys to, everybody got, you know the game, understand, you know, X and O's. I mean, but now what can you get these guys to actually do? And I just think because of my playing career and what I've been able to do there and things I've been able to transition, they listen. So, I mean, that's kind of been part of my success. I hadn't to worry about, you know, guys' eyes were open and their ears were open to the knowledge because they're trying to get somewhere. I was dealing with G League players, but it's all relative. Guys who are trying to come in the game and make their mark in the game. Guys who have been in the game and, you know, maybe need to take on a different role of coming off the bench or guys toward the end of the career. I've been all those guys. I've sat in all those seats. So I think that's the value that I bring to that. But I love my craft. I love the game. You know what I'm saying? You know, now being able to think it because I can't play it anymore. You know what I'm saying? It's just been a good transition. I got into it, man, from coaching my son AAU team back in 2009 and just caught the bug. I watched those kids get better so fast, and I was like, man, I like it. And then next thing I know, I'm doing what I need to do to transition to the pro game. I mean, the college game is not really where, you know, for me right now. I think my dream job would obviously be to go back to North Carolina one day, but right. I'm an NBA player. I mean, you know, and an NBA coach, and I think this is the game that I love the best.
I'm talking to Jerry Stackhouse, former UNC star, former NBA All-Star. He's on Twitter, at Jerry Stackhouse. It's interesting because Penny Hardaway, now the University of Memphis head coach, got into coaching in a similar way, like started working with middle school kids, and then he got into grassroots basketball. Do you have any relationship with Penny?
No, other than just seeing him kind of on the circuit, man, not really. Obviously, we cordial whenever we see each other out there because I've had my program, and obviously he's done really well with his program. But I just think it's an advantage, really, man, because we've been able to see these kids at the level when they were in high school. So I was working with Adidas and doing some things with Adidas Nations. So it's like I got a chance to touch, you know, the Jason Tatums, right. Jaylen Browns, and, you know, Brandon, all these kids that's coming out now that's becoming household names. You have a rapport with them, and we're part of their development. So, and I think Penny, you know, puts the bill in that department as well. He helped a lot of kids, maybe not to, you know, to advance to the pro level, but, you know, at least give them opportunity to earn a college education. So, I mean, he's kudos to him. I think I hope he does a hell of a job over there in Memphis.
I'm talking to Jerry Stackhouse here on 92.9 FM ESPN. I mentioned earlier, not only were you a McDonald's All-American, you were the MVP of the McDonald's All-American game, and somebody tweeted me and said that was actually played at the Mid-South Coliseum here in Memphis.
Man.
Do you remember that?
I got some history in Memphis, yeah, man.
What do you remember about that experience?
Man, I remember, again, I was with the food. We was down at Rendezvous. They were taking us to all of the different restaurants, man. Just, you know, that weekend with the guys. Rasheed was there that weekend. Jeff McKinnis, who I played at Oak Hill with. D'Antonio Wingfield, Jock Vaughn. There's a lot of names that just come to mind when I think about that game, but I was able to come away with the MVP. I was shooting to try to get that. I think I had 28 out of 27. I was shooting for the record. Michael Jordan record was 30. I was trying to get it.
That is an awesome story. I'm talking to Jerry Stackhouse, a former UNC star, a former NBA All-Star. He's on Twitter, at Jerry Stackhouse, now a member of J.B. Bickerstaff's staff with the Memphis Grizzlies. Let me ask you a couple of Grizzlies things real quick. Mike Conley, how's he progressing? Can you update us on how he is?
Well, I mean, I just seen him in the gym, man. I don't really know where he is medically. Not in my pay grade, but,
right,
but I mean, just him being on the court, he's been doing well. I had a workout with him last week, and he's been moving well, man, doing, you know, just kind of getting his legs back under him. Obviously missed a lot of time, but, you know, it's basically as those guys go. You know how it's a players' league, man. Obviously you have to have them prepared, but you got to have your stars be stars, and he's one of the guys that we got to have. So it's good to see him back in the, you know, good fresh frame of mind just from the standpoint of being on the court working. So hopefully they're kind of staggering his load, you know, not making sure he not do too much before training camp. But I think everyone's excited about having him, you know, back to 100%.
And obviously the I don't know if he was the star of Summer League, but certainly the most encouraging player at Summer League, given where he was selected in the 2018 NBA draft. You know, Jaren Jackson really showed a lot of the stuff that make people think not only were the Grizzlies smart to take him where that they took him, perhaps some other franchise should have taken him even higher. What did you make of the summer league that Jaren Jackson put together?
Man, I just thought he was really good. You know, he's a defender first. We love that from the standpoint of this identity that we're trying to bring to the team, you know, that the city has, that the grit and grind, you know. So, went and got defenders, young defenders, guys that wanted to protect the rim and wanted to defend first, and then he comes out and makes 7-8 threes. Like, right. You know, so I think everybody was excited about the potential that he has. I mean, I think he's so young that, you know, he's a work in progress, but he's going to play, man. Kid's just talented enough to play, and I think he's fortunate to have somebody like Jermichael Green there who's been around, who's a veteran, who's he can learn from, and at the same time, they can push each other for minutes. So it's good to have those healthy competitions. So we're, you know, definitely excited about that. But the boy's just a good kid, man. Great parents. Again, I met this kid when he was a ninth grader on the grassroots circuit, right, you know, with his dad. You know, so again, it's being able to come full circle with him now at this level is fun to watch, and obviously fun to coach him.
I'm wrapping up here with Jerry Stackhouse, former NBA All-Star, now member of the Memphis Grizzlies coaching staff. Last thing before I let you go, it's a little bit off topic, but I think you're a good person to ask because you're not some anonymous high school player who became an NBA star. You're not some former high school star who was irrelevant in the NBA. You were the MVP of the McDonald's All-American game. You were the Sports Illustrated National Player of the Year at North Carolina. You spent 18 years in the league, two-time All-Star. You've been incredibly successful at every level of the sport. And just yesterday, the NCAA announced a whole bunch of rule changes to college basketball, but they're still not going to let prospects like you were once upon a time accept any significant monetary inducement or anything from agents. You still can't accept fair market value in any way whatsoever. As someone who's been all those things I described, but also somebody who worked in grassroots basketball, do you ever envision a time when the NCAA actually recognizes that people like Jerry Stackhouse, when they're 17 years old, are worth an incredible amount of money already, and to try to restrict them in so many ways is just a battle that's going to be a losing battle until they actually bring about real change?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think in a roundabout way, man, in my personal opinion, obviously I think the model is completely broken, and, you know, they're trying to put Band-Aids on it that aren't going to fix it. But I think the fact that, you know, just bringing the word agent into it is going to ultimately solve the problem and get the players' union involved with all players. Mm. You know, these kids have no representation, so they're coming to the table without anyone speaking on their behalf. So, and until that happens, and now since the agents are somewhere kind of got their name involved and being able to negotiate, that agents are governed by the Players Association. So that's, you know, they have to come in and include these kids in some way. I mean, they're talking about, you know, which kids are elite. Who's going to be on that committee to decide who's committed? It's all subjective.
Right.
So it's like, you know, how do you, you know, quantify who this guy? This guy feels like he's an All-American. And so it's like he can talk to an agent, but he can't. Right. Well, how about the guys that's on the border? Just a slippery slope there, man. I just hopefully they can figure it out and not punish the kids. I think taking away, you know, dates in the summer when colleges can come out and actually see kids is not the thing to do. I mean, they want to come out where the best kids are, when they can see all 50 kids at one, you know, Nike event or one Adidas event, as opposed to trying to have to go see 50 kids at their, you know, at each individual high school. Just, it doesn't make sense. And I think that, you know, they want to do the right thing, but you got to have some of the right people involved. And then if you don't have some of the grassroots people, the people that you're trying to go around, you got to get some of those people to the table, too, to understand the value, you know, not, you know, the value that it brings as well. You know, and you're not ever going to cut people out that are close to these kids. At the end of the day, the kids, their family members, they're going to be somewhat involved. And so it's not a way around it. It's just about a way of trying to bring everybody to the table. And as long as you keep trying to push the kids out and don't, you know, offer them anything, you know, monetary, when you're making billions of dollars right. off of them, you know, it's just it can't end well. You know what I'm saying? I think, you know, the NCAA a few years ago was talking about possibly dissolving, and if they stay on this track, it could possibly happen again, that those talks, you know, rear their head again. So hopefully they figure it out, because I think it's a model worth saving college basketball, but at the same time, these kids deserve something and not suspended for selling a pair of shoes right. that you gave me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
In what other world are you not allowed to sell something that belongs to you?
Wow. Wow. This is the country we live in. You know, capitalism at its finest. I don't get it, man.
I don't get it either. It sounds like, honestly, the NCAA would have been wise to invite you into the room and have
man,
you a seat at the table.
I'd love to get there, man. I'd love to. Me and you go over there. We can talk some sense into it.
We'll work on it. Jerry, it's awesome to have you here. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're in Memphis, and I'll see you soon.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Take care. That's Jerry Stackhouse, former NBA All-Star, current member of the Memphis Grizzlies staff. Just terrific.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.